Chapter 29, Behold the Mortal Head Wound. The Emperor and his entourage embarked upon a voyage on the Medina Sea via Imperial submarine. They surfaced on the Tyrrhenian Sea and made their way to Rome by armored convoy to meet with the world's military commanders. In Rome, the commanders swore their fealty, confirmed troop strength, and discussed tactics for the imminent invasion. Rome became a hub of supplies for the European command. Weapons and equipment were sent there for the commanders to harden their positions on their home fronts. "Right now, we need to buy time," the Emperor told the ranking military elite assembled at his table. "Stealth is key," he insisted. "How long do you want us to hide, Your Excellency?" The beautiful blonde woman with a cloth eye patch asked. Her faces had speckled scars from fragmentation. She saw a lot of action, survived, and earned her position at his table. "Until we determine the vulnerabilities of the enemy and devise a plan to destroy them," he said into her good eye. "I'm open for ideas if you have any. Share them," he insisted. "We should have investigated the claims of the prophets and rolled out defenses sooner," she was interrupted. "Do not," he screamed before lowering his tone, "waste our precious time discussing what we should have done." He scolded the commander, then addressed the room. "Any repeats of this offense will result in your immediate removal from this council. Am I clear?" he asked. They nodded in agreement. "Looks like this meeting is adjourned," he said coldly before exiting the conference room. The commanders arose to their feet and stood at attention as the Emperor made his exit. The Imperial Supreme Commander headed east to meet with the armies from the provinces of Asia. His entourage made their way to Berlin by way of armored combat utility vehicle. In Berlin, they boarded a private imperial train to Neo-Moscow, the biggest megacity in Russia. They met more military commanders before arriving in Beijing. The armies of Asia made up the bulk of the Empire's fighting force. The province of Asia was densely populated and experienced the most human suffering under the plagues and perils. There were constant revolts for water and food. The Emperor arrived bearing gifts of weapons, ammo and supplies for the needy. Upon receiving the Asian commander's pledge of fealty, the unified command of the First World Empire seemed invincible. Azrael and his commandos broke the defying armies of the world to pieces. All human resistance was utterly destroyed with swift, cruel violence of action. The Eastern Empire led the charge of trying and executing convicted Christians. The Great Wall of China was cluttered with crosses of Christians and their supporters. "How many warfighters are in our army?" the Emperor asked Yasmin.
"A billion and counting, Your Excellency," Yasmin said, addressing the Emperor by his new public title.
"Wonderful. And what of Odin's shield?" He asked about the new defense weapon that created an electric barrier around the Earth. It harnessed energy from the people and Earth's magnetic field to generate an electron pulse. There was a node atop of every pyramid megacity around the world. Together, they created a planetary electric network. Odin's shield was designed to repel the menacing angelic host with a wall of electrons. "R&D wants to flip the switch at 0400 hours, Your Excellency," she added. "Confidence rating?" he asked. It wasn't enough to tell the Emperor a solution was going to work. He needed percentage to assess the confidence of the expert. 90+. She cringed, knowing it was really low 80s, but she curved her grade with optimism. "That's a good score," the Emperor replied. The team stood by for the demonstration of the new defense weapon. It was powered on, and Odin's shield lit up the night sky with crisscrossing beams of dancing purple electricity. The violent violet static could be heard from the ground as it deep-fried the oxygen with an electric crackle. To the bewilderment of the Empire, the angelic host were expelled to their vessel. "Triumph!" the emperor declared, knowing it was merely a minor battle in a vicious war. Nonetheless, the imperial staff and entourage applauded the shield's success. Yasmin were long overdue for an imperial address, he told her. I concur, Your Excellency. I really have to adjust to this title change, Yasmin mentioned. Where do you want the backdrop? She asked. I'm thinking something that screams military might. Ah, the Washington Monument, but paint it dark purple first, the Emperor insisted. He provided her the HTML color code, Gr5C2E5F. The last thing I need is a 5'5" white cock in the backdrop, Azrael said inappropriately, notwithstanding smiles were all around. And Barney's dick is better sight? Yasmin thought, but didn't say. She long felt that the Washington Monument was a testament to white male supremacy. She wanted to paint it black, but never got around to it. As second in command in the First World Order, she could have gotten away with it. Now she considered the big purple hard-on to be a symbol for the Empire's strength. She deployed a few robots to paint the Washington Monument imperial purple. The luminous spotlights lit up the monument like a giant purple lightsaber. The ominous violet tower loomed in the dark steel sky. The ground was circled by crosses and purple imperial flags. There was a stage and a podium that bore the crest of a violet seven-headed dragon and a winged lion-like creature. Uniformed military commanders flanked both sides in their illustrious imperial garments. Large battle bots stood behind them with their impressive cannons presenting a remarkable show of force. Smaller bots stood nearby in formation, ready to neutralize potential threat. The crowd was in the millions and spanned to the old Capitol building over a mile away. While the world was going to hell, there had been much improvement since the FWO became the First World Empire. The Emperor was going to give a live address and update on the state of the world. Azrael and his entourage arrived. He wore a decorative black battle suit with the imperial purple theme. The purple fatigues were speckled like a leopard, and his large metal boots were like the feet of a bear. His combat helmet and visor were the head of a lion. He removed the helmet to show his handsome, disfigured face. After sitting the lion's head on the podium, he raised his hand in salute and as a gesture of silence. The crowd was still. Brothers and sisters and robots of the Empire, I thank you for your steadfast patience. He provided his preamble. These are troubling times for the world and the Empire. I'm proud to announce the success of Odin's shield, and we have vanquished the extraterrestrial threat that lingered in our skies. However brief, this is a mighty victory for the Empire, the Emperor insisted. Many citizens may be thinking, what is the difference between the former First World Order and the newly established First World Empire? The most notable change is the expansion of our social programs. We issue daily meal rations to every ID-carrying vaccinated citizen. The Emperor boasted but did not say the army garnished the farmers' yields to feed the world in a global famine. Additionally, the people who didn't provide proof of ID or vaccination were turned away or detained in the food lines. Supplying food in a famine had great leverage, and the Empire was gaining more control over the populace. We're providing free health care for all who suffered from the many perils we all experienced in the last year. We improved upon our previous vaccines. The Emperor said, referring to the DNA alteration, Sophia added, that turned the vaccinated into zombies. He would never tell the public, or his staff for that matter. If anyone asked what the improvement was, he would claim the rate of efficiency increased by 5 to 10%. Still, the Emperor did not mention the forced vaccines turned all humans in the megacities to stronger living batteries. Odin's shield needed vast sums of power to stay online. Hence, more of people's power was siphoned into the global 13G wireless power grid. Most importantly, we're sharing intelligence and technology like never before, he commended. This was because the empire created a single chain of command, and all intel flowed up to the emperor. For the first time in human history, men and women of all races, colors, and creeds have put aside their petty differences to unify under a single banner against a common enemy. Today, our army stands united over 2.5 billion strong. He told the crowd and they roared like legions of lions. Still, there is a mild resistance that strives to thwart our endeavors. They claim I am the Antichrist and preach of how I'm such a danger to humanity. Verily, I say unto thee, I have read the biblical book of Revelations, and Yehovah Christ comes back to kill everyone. If the scriptures are true, there's no man more dangerous than Yehovah. The emperor warned the camera. The scripture says he's coming back and he's pissed. Azrael laughed. Can you blame him? He asked rhetorically. The Romans did him dirty. I know I killed scores of Christians, but they cast the first stone. Azrael insisted. Still, I stand before you this evening to claim the anti-Christian mantle and to usher in a prosperous age of the First World Empire. The emperor said, throwing his hands in the air for emphasis. The laser went in and out of Azrael's face and skull. There was no impact, just hot, ionized gases traveling near light speed, searing through everything in its path. Azrael looked to the sky as if he had saw a ghost. Then the emperor took two clumsy steps away from the podium, turned, and collapsed with a heavy clunk as his armor hit the ground. Azrael! Yasmin shouted as she ran to his side. He was convulsing on his back inside the battle suit. Azrael was still breathing, but he was unconscious. The emperor had a smoldering hole in his forehead, a little smaller than a dime. The wound went clean through his skull and left an exit wound of similar size. The emperor was the target for a sniper with a long-range plasma rifle. Apollyon was already on the move to counter-strike the sniper as he flew across the mall towards the Capitol building. He scanned fiercely for vantage points that could be traced to the trajectory of the shot. He detected movement in the bell tower of an abandoned church. Apollyon had eyes on the sniper. The assailant was running down the twisting stairs to flee the scene of the crime. Apollyon burst through the thick stone walls and grabbed the sniper running down the stairs by the throat. The shooter resisted and reached for an explosive device on his vest. Apollyon merely squeezed until the sniper's neck squished in his powerful mechanical palm. He secured the shooter's weapons and hauled the body and the evidence back to the security team. Back at the monument, the million-plus crowd quickly became a stampede. The robot army was deployed to keep the peace and control the crowd. Somewhere in the mall, gunfire broke out and orange tracer bullets flew in the direction of the emperor and the medical staff. Two of the larger battle bots repositioned themselves to provide cover for the emperor. The giant killer robots fired live rounds into the crowd, causing immense collateral damage to engage the shooters. 9 shooters were killed in action, including the sniper. Over 500 innocent people were killed, and 9,000 were severely wounded in the 7-minute shootout between the terrorist and the security robots. A quadcopter descended from the sky and the emperor was medevaced. Yasmin flew in the chopper beside him, and Apollyon patrolled the skies en route to the medical facility. Hang in there, Azrael, Yasmin said, holding his icy hand in the helicopter. Don't die on us, she ordered. The emperor did not reply. He was somewhere else entirely.